Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Here in Ireland for over 40 years, that's four decades of trust, reliability and expertise. Visit Zurich.ie.
Now, as you've been hearing in the bulletin there, RTE News reporting that contact has been made with the gang in Haiti involved in the kidnapping of Irish woman Gina Herity, who was among eight people, including a child, taken from an orphanage on Sunday. Sources say phone calls have taken place between the gang who abducted Miss Herity and intermediaries on the ground in Haiti. It's understood Haiti's lack of a fully functioning government has made diplomatic talks difficult. The Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs Simon Harris held talks overnight with his Haitian counterpart about the abduction. In the past hour, the Association of Leaders of Missionaries and Religious of Ireland thanked the Taoiseach for his efforts and asked people to keep Gina in their thoughts and prayers and appealed for her release. I'm joined now by Fiona McGarry, who runs the BA in Journalism at the University of Galway and produced a documentary on Gina back in 2012 following the earthquake in Haiti. Before I speak to Fiona, here's a quick clip from that documentary with Gina Herity explaining how she was destined for a life of helping others.
I was aware all the way through secondary school that I wanted to go somewhere else and that somehow I had to go on my path. I feel I have the gift of faith. And so I remember consciously saying to God, I want a job. I don't care where it is or what it is, but you have to find the job for me. And that was, I remember in secondary school, even writing something like, you know, in years to come, I won't be here. Because in my mind, I was going somewhere, but I didn't know how to get there.
That was Gina Herity speaking to Fiona McGarry as part of her documentary following the earthquake in Haiti. Fiona, thanks for joining me. It's good to talk to you on Drive Time this evening. Can I ask you about your reaction when you heard the news of Gina Herity's abduction and how you heard it over the weekend? Because I assume you knew straight away it was her.
I did, John, and I think it was just, as Gina's family have said, that utter devastation to think that somebody who does the work that Gina does and is so utterly selfless, so dedicated to Haiti, that she would now become a target for gangs, John. So I found out actually just very early on Monday morning, obviously, there were the initial reports of an abduction and hoping against all hope. But sadly, it was confirmed that it was Gina, and we can only just hope and pray now for her speedy release. And I think this breakthrough this evening is potentially good news.
Let's hope so. Gina Herity oversees the St. Helene Orphanage in the commune of Kenscoff, about 10 kilometres southeast of the Haitian capital, Port-au-Prince, in a facility operated by the humanitarian organisation Nos Petits Frères et Sœurs, our little brothers and sisters. But she's a proud Mayo woman like yourself, Fiona. Did you know of Gina before this documentary, or had you just heard of her work?
Well, I'd heard of her through her enormous reputation and heard her frequently speaking on radio in County Mayo about her work. She's from a family of 11, John. She's from Liscarney, which is rural Westport, and her family have just been such a wonderful support to her. Before I made the documentary, obviously, as part of the seeking permission to find out if Gina would be interested, I travelled to Liscarney and I met her to Liscarney, and I met her when she was home on holidays. And I suppose, you know, it was a bit of a big undertaking to have a journalist follow you around for a couple of weeks. And Gina was so gracious, and she understood. She never seeks publicity, but she understood the importance of the documentary in terms of getting the word out about her work, and also the fact that People of Mayo had fundraised incredible amounts. 234,000 euro was raised in County Mayo in 2011, in the year and a half after the earthquake, largely thanks to the local radio station Midwest. Mm-hmm. And Gina realised how important it was that listeners to the station and the wider community of Mayo would be able to see where the money had gone.
She's somebody I had heard of as well, not growing up too far away from you or her either, Fiona, in many years ago. Mm-hmm. Because even though there's a modesty about Gina Herity, as described by the local priest who led prayers last evening, she's something of a local hero, isn't she? An unsung hero, maybe. But people are very proud and have really backed her cause in Haiti.
They're incredibly proud of her, John. And Gina celebrated her 30th anniversary in Haiti back in 2023, and she came home to Westport. There was an enormous celebration, such an outpouring of goodwill. And certainly since she's been there in the early 90s, people have been fundraising, not just in County Mayo, but all across Ireland. So many people have travelled to Haiti to volunteer with Gina. And when they've come back, they've been very passionate advocates for her work. They've been hugely supportive of her. I think anybody who hears Gina interviewed, who gets to meet Gina, it's an incredible privilege. They can't help but be inspired by somebody who is so dedicated to helping others.
She sounds like a real selfless visionary there, all right, even from the short snippet we heard from your own documentary. Now, I mentioned where she works. Is that where you visited this orphanage of, yes, of Santa Helene in Kenscough?
That's right, John.
Will you describe it to us, Fiona? Tell us a bit more.
I will. It's certainly, it's an incredibly beautiful place, John. And Gina described it in the documentary to me and spoke about the extremes in Haiti. And on the one hand, we visited Port-au-Prince, where it is almost entirely run by gangs. Up to 90% of the territory in Port-au-Prince is run by gangs. There's a terrible slum called Cité Soleil, which we had held out the hope that we might be able to get into. There's around 500,000 people living in that. It's hugely overcrowded. The city is incredibly chaotic. It's very, very dangerous. Even crossing the road, John, you could be mown down without any warning. So it's dangerous in every sense. Up in the mountains then is the orphanage, and it's really been a safe haven. About between 250 and 300 children. When Gina went out there in 1993, she opened up a special house, or a CAI, as they're called, for children with additional needs and disabilities. So Kenscough is high up in the mountains, incredibly beautiful. You're looking into a rainforest. It's lush, it's green, but it's also, unfortunately, John, become very, very dangerous. And we know that the gangs have unfortunately moved from Port-au-Prince, and they're now occupying the Kenscough area.
Was it dangerous when she went there, or how has that evolved over time?
Yeah, Gina described to me the situation in the early 90s where people were poor, but she said the crime rate wasn't where it was 10 years later. And certainly now, because we've seen the assassination of the president of Haiti in 2021 and a descent into incredible chaos since then. There is a multinational operation in the country now that's led by Kenya. It has UN backing. It's not exactly a UN mission. That's only there since 2024. And unfortunately, gang violence has just reached absolutely stark levels at this point. But certainly Gina was very aware. And a year after the documentary was aired there in 2023, the orphanage in Haiti, in Kenscough, in the haven of Kenscough, was broken into. And Gina was badly assaulted at that time. So she herself and other aid workers, unfortunately, have been having to take more precautions. When I travelled to Haiti, John, I discovered that every other Western traveller was meeting a private security detail at the airport. It's literally that dangerous. But there was a tacit understanding at that time that aid workers would not be targeted. If you were travelling in an aid convoy or travelling in an ambulance or a clearly marked aid vehicle, there was that understanding that, you know, you might be approached on the street, people would beg, but you certainly wouldn't be intimidated. But unfortunately, that has changed quite radically. And now I think the aid community are saying that, you know, even walking unaccompanied, certainly in an area like Port-au-Prince, is definitely not recommended and far too dangerous. There is an advisory now. The US State Department has a do not travel. I think it's a level 4 in relation to kidnappings currently.
Sadly, things have changed, as you said, when those aid workers are targeted, and we hear that kidnappings becoming more common. Did Gina explain to you why it was this corner of the world where she found her vocation?
Well, I think she explained that she wanted the vocation. She prayed for the mission, I think, as she would put it herself. She prayed for the mission. I think it was a kind of a happy coincidence that she met a nun, Sister Rose, who talked to her. She met her while working for the Simon community in Dublin. And this nun was very inspirational to Gina and told her about Haiti. I think, like many people, Gina possibly didn't know where it was in the globe at that particular point. But certainly, she said, from once she went there, she realised that when you're working with children, you form relationships with them. And she said, there's no short haul. And, you know, she lives that out every day. Mm-hmm. She is so, so committed. And I think she has just woven herself into the fabric. She's a mother figure in St. Helene to so many children, and has been for generations of children coming through the St. Helene orphanage at this point.
I think a lot of people
back in the 90s.
Sorry, Fiona, a lot of people struck by that among a number of staff,
yes,
she has a 3-year-old child in her care as well, who was abducted.
That's
here.
Right.
Will you tell us a little bit about the children she looks after there?
The children she looks after, John, are among the most vulnerable. And certainly in the special house for children with disabilities, there's about 30 of them. they would have intellectual disabilities, but very often, unfortunately, as a result of the earthquake, natural disasters and violence, they would also have physical disabilities. But Gina and her organisation are able to provide education, healthcare, stability, all of the things that those children wouldn't have outside of St. Helen. And there is an incredible atmosphere. It's an incredibly uplifting place. And that is because of the work Gina does and Gina's team. And she's such an inspirational figure for her team. The children respond to Gina. They treat her as a mother. When I was there, there was a young boy, Olivier, 5 years of age, who called Gina his mother. And I think she creates that bond. She sees those children as her own brothers and sisters. And she very much lives the ethos of her organization. And she would say to me, you know, imagine this is your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. And that is how she treats those children every day. The care, the respect and the love that she shows them is incredibly humbling.
What an amazing example. I can tell you were struck by it yourself, Fiona. When I mentioned to you that as we're on air this evening, RTE reporting that contact has been made with the gang in Haiti involved in the kidnapping of Gina Herity and seven other workers and this young child as young as 3 years old taken from the orphanage on Sunday. I'm very mindful of her large family in County Mayo and that community as well. Her sister telling prayers, a prayer service last evening, all we can do is wait and pray. I think that's the hope for everyone this evening as this contact is made.
It certainly is, John, and we can only but feel for her family and empathise with them. Fabulous family, so supportive, and they will be leaving no stone unturned in the coming days and weeks.
Fiona, thanks so much for talking to me on Drive Time this evening. That's journalist and documentary maker Fiona McGarry, director of the BA in Journalism at the University of Galway. Back shortly.